Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
If you have a relationship with somebody and 100% of your conversation with that person is information giving and nothing else, you don't have much of a relationship with that person. You might be that way with somebody at work, you know, where all you ever do is just inform back and forth. But if a husband and wife do nothing but convey information in their speech, that is a sick marriage, isn't it? What'd you do today? I went to the store. What about you? Worked all day, stopped for gas. Dinner's on the counter. I mean, that's just not much of a relationship. Imagine you came home from work early tomorrow, and you drive up to your house, and you're shocked to find your house burnt to the ground. Just smoldering ashes, nothing left. So you call your spouse. And as soon as your spouse answers the phone, first thing your spouse says is, I already found out, I know, I'm aware of the fact that the house burned down. You don't just say, oh, okay, well then there's no point in talking, hang up, click, goodbye. Right? I mean, you called to tell them about the house, but that's not all. You weren't just going to inform them, you wanted to have a conversation about it. And if you do, as soon as you find out they have the information, you just immediately hang up, you don't have much of a relationship. And that's exactly the situation when people descend into mindless prayers. The pagans pray in ways that never get to the good part. They have no meaning or significance beyond the informing aspect of a conversation because they have no real relationship with God. And so they never get to the good part. And so instead of crying out to a person, they're just informing some cosmic computer somewhere that just logs how many words they speak into the air. That's not much of a relationship. If I were to do marriage counseling, somebody, you know, a couple came to me for marriage counseling, and the wife says, man, I'd just give my right arm if my husband would just talk to me. I just want him to talk to me. And that would make all the difference. And so I say, oh, I know the solution. I give the husband some homework assignment. I say, every day when you get home, you have to say 500 sentences to your wife, at least 500 sentences. And so every day he comes home, he just sits down on the couch and starts speaking sentences. No eye contact, never pausing to listen to her, never even aware that she's in the room. When he's feeling guilty and he thinks he's neglecting his wife, he makes the sentences even longer. But there's no actual personal interaction, no relational interchange, just the click, 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 click of this guy's little sentence counter so he knows when he's hit the 500. If I did that, when they come back to the next session, is that wife going to come back and say, oh, thank you, Daryl, our marriage is just everything I ever dreamed now? No, I don't think so. But on the other hand, what about the husband who sees that guy with his little sentence counter and he just thinks, what a moron that guy is. I mean, he thinks communication is just a matter of the number of sentences he speaks. That's ridiculous. Communication has nothing at all to do with how many words you speak. And so this guy gets home from work every day and he says two or three words to his wife and then he just gets on with his evening. And he congratulates himself for not being such a ridiculous legalist like that first guy. No, the second guy is just as bad as the first guy, right? I mean, when God calls us to pray, it's like the wife inviting her husband to into her world, into her heart, to commune with her in conversation. Communication is not mere words. It's more than mere words, but it's not less. It does require the words. Words alone are not enough, but they are essential. You see that? There's no real difference between the man who isn't interested enough in his wife to listen to her for more than 30 seconds and the guy who disciplines himself to listen to her for an hour a day, but he's so bored that his eyes glaze over. There's no real difference. Neither one is engaging in any real communion with her. When God calls us to prayer, He's not calling us to mere words. He's not calling us to empty ritual. He's not calling us to some legalistic duty. He's not calling us to grudging performance of something we don't like. And He's not calling us to show off. He's calling us to communion with Him, real communion, to getting to the good part, to personal and relational interaction with Him, which requires intensive, zealous, earnest seeking after Him. I think that's why God says, look, I already know the information in your brain. Therefore, don't pray like the pagans. Don't talk to me like an estranged spouse that never goes beyond the information conveying point of a conversation. But do pour out your heart to me. Now, I'm saying all this so that you see, when Jesus condemns their many words, he's not condemning long prayer. You see that? God says, I already know the information, so the only reason to talk to me is to get to the good part, so you might as well just get to the good part. But if all you have is the informational part, if communion and fellowship and personal interaction aren't there, then the whole exercise is just a waste of breath. That's why Jesus condemns the many words in this context, but in other places, commands us to persist in much prayer. Can you see how they're not? That's not a contradiction? God does not respond to many words. He does respond to much prayer. And so we should be like the persistent neighbor. We should follow Jesus' example and pray for extended periods of time and repeat our earnest prayers. God is more responsive to persistent prayer than he is to a prayer just offered once and then we just, once or twice and then we give up. The time spent and the number of words uttered are not enough in and of themselves to move the hand of God. However, if the time spent and the words uttered come from the heart, they can be used as tools that will touch the heart of God. And when his heart is moved, then his hand is moved. So he does respond to that. Prayer is not, it's more than mere words, but it's not less. Now, do all prayers need to be long? Of course not. A man loves his wife, sometimes he'll have long, deep conversations with her. Other times he'll just say, I love you, honey, have a great day, and walk out the door. And there's different purposes for different conversations. Some conversations, you know, they require more time than other kinds of conversations. Some conversations, they're for the purpose of restoring the relationship after it's been broken and making things right. Some conversations are just, they're just a quick expression of thanks. Sometimes all that's needed is one single word. Other times you need to get away for a whole weekend. Different conversations have different purposes, and none of them have the purpose of just saying words for the sake of saying words. The measure of prayer is not how many things you pray or even how much time you spend praying. The measure of prayer is how much progress you make in drawing near to the heart of God and enjoying communion with Him. Right? In a conversation with your spouse, sometimes all that's needed is a single word. Other times, you need a whole weekend. Which kinds of situations with your spouse or a friend call for a long conversation? And which kinds of situations with God might call for a long conversation?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.